Okay, today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Dalid. We are up to Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are at about 7 lines before the end of the page of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Yesterday we left off discussing the Chiddush of Shmuel, that Shmuel said that if you lend $1,000 to your friend and you take a mashkon back from him, it doesn't really make a difference what the mashkon is actually worth. When you take a mashkon back from him, you're taking that mashkon back as $1,000. And therefore, if you lose that mashkon, you've lost $1,000. You don't get to say, oh, well, the mashkon was really only worth $450. You owe me $550 still, even though I lost your mashkon. Shmuel says, there's no such thing. When you take a mashkon, you're taking back that amount of value. That was Shmuel's din. Not everyone agreed to Shmuel, but that's the din that we're going to be referring back to. It was a machlokes, but that's the din we're going to be referring back to as Shmuel's chiddush. So now the Gemara suggests, lema ketanoi, maybe Shmuel's chiddush is actually the subject of machlokes tanoim. Hamalves chaver ala mashkon va'avar mashkon, if a person lends his friend money and he takes back a mashkon in return as a collateral, va'avar mashkon, and he loses the mashkon. So he swears and collects his money, and then that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. All he's got to do is swear and he'll be able to collect his money. What does he swear? He swears that he didn't pocket the mashkon, that the mashkon in fact was lost as he claimed it was. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yachal hu sheyomer lo klum hil visani ela la mashkon, Avra Mashkon Avdu Ma'osecha. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the guy who borrowed the money can say, look, you lent me the money with a collateral, with a mashkon, you took back a mashkon. You lose the mashkon, you lose the money. You only intended to lend me the money because there was a mashkon. Now that there's no mashkon, there's no money. I'm sorry, you're not going to get paid back. Avla malva elef zuz bishtar v'iniach mashkon biyado. But if he wasn't relying on the mashkon, rather, he had given him a shtar, so it wasn't that he only lent the money because there was a mashkon. He lent the money because he was getting a shtar, and that's what he was really relying on to get paid back. But he happened to have taken a mashkon as well. So divrei hakol avad mashkon avdu ma'osav. Then everybody would agree that once the mashkon is lost, the money is gone, and that the mashkon is going to correspond to the entire amount of the payment. The mashkon wasn't there just to make the malva feel better. He had a shtar there to make him feel better. So the mashkon was taken with the understanding that that is going to represent the entire amount of money. So frek the Gemara, what is the case? Hey Chidami, what are we talking about over here? What exactly is the case in terms of this mashkon that we have this machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? And again, Rabbi Eliezer's shita was that you could still collect the money even though you lost the mashkon. Rabbi Akiva's shita was that assuming there's no shtar, you cannot collect the money once you lose the mashkon. The mashkon corresponds to all of the money. So hechidami, what's the case in terms of the actual value of the mashkon in this machlokes? Ibid shavi shir zuzi. If we're dealing with a mashkon that's actually worth the full amount of the loan, so the loan was for $1,000, the mashkon was for $1,000, and in that case, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer says that you're still able to collect your money, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, you lost the money, you lost $1,000, and therefore you're no longer able to collect $1,000. Well, Rabbi Akiva would make plenty of sense in that case, that you lent somebody $1,000, you took back his mashkon that's worth $1,000, you lost his mashkon that's worth $1,000, makes plenty of sense that you're no longer owed any money. But my time made to Rabbi Eliezer. But what's going to be the logic for Rabbi Eliezer in that case? If you lost $1,000 worth, why should you be able to collect? Just because you swear that it was lost, the guy is still at $1,000, so why should you still be able to collect the money if in fact it was worth the mashkon was worth the amount of the loan? So the Gemara is going to have four approaches to understanding this machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Four approaches to understanding what exactly the case is and what the machlokas is about, what the root of the machlokas is really about. So approach number one, Elolav bidolo shavi shir zuzi. We must be dealing with a case that the mashkon was not worth the full $1,000. Ubid Shmuel kamiflgi. And what are they arguing about? They're arguing about Shmuel's din. Again, Shmuel held the mashkon could be worth $5. But if you took it it as a mashkon on a $1,000 loan, that's you declaring that the mashkon to you is worth $1,000. And therefore, when you lose the mashkon, you've lost the entire loan. So Rabbi Eliezer will say, no, you haven't. I disagree with Shmuel. And Rabbi Akiva would say, yeah, I hold exactly like Shmuel, that even though the mashkon is not worth the full $1,000, it counts as if it's worth the full $1,000 since it was taken as a mashkon. If you look at Rashi, that's exactly how Rashi explains. Rabbi Eliezer lesley de Shmuel. Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of Shmuel. The mashkon she'eno shava kolachov ein adam mekablo. That a mashkon that's not worth the entire chov, a person is ein adam mekablo ela lizichron dvarim. That if the mashkon is not worth the entire chov, the only reason the person takes it is to remind him that he's got to collect money. Hilkach shomer chinam hu alav. Therefore, he's considered a shomer chinam on the mashkon. V'yishava shalo pasha. So all he's got to do is swear that he wasn't negligent. V'sheinu birshuso, and that he's not pocketing it, that it's not still in his property. V'yitol kol ma'osav. Shomer chinam's patron gnev v'aveda with a shvua. All he's got to do is take a shvua that it was in fact gnev v'aveda. It's not considered that he's getting paid to watch this mashkon because he's only taking this mashkon as zichron dvarim. It's not because he needs this mashkon as any sort of guarantee. So that's Rabbi Eliezer Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva will say, Kishmol svirulei, shalashay mashkon kiblo. That he didn't just take this as a reminder, he took this as a guarantee. He's not sure that the guy's going to pay him back without a mashkon. That's why he took the mashkon. That's because there was no shtar. Aval, says Rashi, Hilvo Elav Zuz Bishtar, if he lent him $1,000 with a shtar, Afilu Rabbi Eliezer Modesh HaMashkon SheKibel Achrei Kein L'Shem Mashkon Kiblo, then even Rabbi Eliezer is going to be modded that when he took this mashkon, he took this as a mashkon, meaning it wasn't just a zichron dvarim. He definitely took this as a mashkon. Shari enu tzarich lo the zichron dvarim. He doesn't need the zichron dvarim. Shashtar lo l'raya. He already has that. He already has a shtar. So the shtar is the greatest zichron dvarim you could have. So what's he taking the mashkon for? It must be that he's accepting the mashkon as payment. So that's why if there was a shtar, even Rabbi Eliezer would be moda that if he loses the mashkon, he lost the right to collect, because such a mashkon clearly is taken as payment. But anyway, that's the assumption that they're arguing within the din of Shmuel. So that is approach number one. So says Gemara, lo, it's not necessarily so. Meaning, and that was the end of the sentence that started with Lema Katanai. Right? We started off by saying, perhaps Shmuel's din is subject to Machlokas Tanaim. We quoted this Machlokas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva. What are they arguing about? So we said, maybe they're arguing about Shmuel's din. So that's how you see that Shmuel's din is subject of Machlokas Tanaim. But generally, we'd rather not have Shmuel's din be subject to Machlokas Tanaim. We'd rather have some alternative approach to understanding the Machlokas Tanaim, where Shmuel doesn't have to be locked in to one shita. So lo, b'dalo shavi, or where Shmuel shouldn't be saying the exact same thing as one Tana, meaning you don't want Shmuel's big chiddush to be something that was said many, many years earlier by Rabbi Akiva, because then what do you need Shmuel for? He should just say halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, right? So what's the point of Shmuel coming along? So you don't want Shmuel's din to be the exact subject of Machlokas Tanaim, even though it might touch on the subject a little bit. So says Gemara lo, b'dalo shavi ikuli alma leslu de Shmuel. The truth is, when the mashkon is not worth the same amount as the loan, everyone would reject Shmuel. Nobody would hold like Shmuel that the mashkon being lost therefore cancels the whole chiyuv to pay the loan. Over here we're talking about a mashkon that is in fact worth the amount of money that the loan is worth. What was our problem with saying that? We said then Rabbi Eliezer's shita makes no sense. If a guy loses a mashkon that's worth the full $1,000, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why does he still get to collect the money? So, but Rabbi Yitzchak Kamiflgi, what they're actually arguing about is within the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak teaches the following: Minayin lebal chov shekona mashkon. How do I know that a bal chov, when he takes a mashkon, becomes the owner of the mashkon? That he actually acquires the mashkon, he becomes the rightful owner of the mashkon. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, ulchatihi et tzedakah. What's the rest of the pasuk? The pasuk says, when you take a mashkon, hashev tashiv lo es ha'avot kivo ha'shemesh v'shachav b'salmoso v'rach luchati et tzedakah l'fnei Hashem elokecha. That if you have somebody else's mashkon, you have to make sure to give it back to him when he needs it. So let's say I took somebody's suit as a mashkon. I know he has important business meetings, so I have to give it back to him in the morning that he could put on that suit and attend his meetings looking respectable, and then take the mashkon back at night. So you're supposed to give back the mashkon at certain times, and the pasuk says ulchati et tzedakah, and to you that's considered a great tzedakah if you go and you give back the mashkon. How does one perform the mitzvah of tzedakah? You take something that belongs to you and you give it to somebody else. That's the mitzvah of tzedakah. But this mashkon doesn't belong to me. I lent him money. I took this as collateral. It's his. I just took it as collateral. Why does the pasuk call it tzedakah? Imeinu kona mashkon tzedakah minayin lo. If I haven't been kona the mashkon, why would it be called tzedakah? So it must be that I am mikan the balchov shekona mashkon. So it must be that a balchov, in fact, is kona mashkon. So you see that lemed Rabbi Yitzchak Tanayi, that Rabbi Yitzchak's din is actually the subject of this machlokas Tanayim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of Rabbi Yitzchak's din, thinks the balchov is not kona the mashkon, and therefore what is the balchov in regards to the mashkon? He's a shomer chinam. So if the balchov loses the mashkon, what does he have to do? He swears gnev vaved. All he's got to do is swear that it is in fact lost, and he's going to be potter, and he'll still be able to collect his money. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Rabbi Akiva will hold of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Akiva will say, no, if I'm holding a mashkon, I'm the owner of that mashkon. When something of mine gets destroyed, lost, stolen, or any of the above, I'm the one that bears the loss, because it's mine. I can't go to anybody else and say, my car got wrecked sitting in my driveway last night from a hailstorm. I go to an insurance company, but, you know, other than that, because I've hired them, but if I don't have insurance, it's my responsibility. It's not anybody else's responsibility. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would hold, like Rabbi Yitzchak, that since it's his, when I lose the mashkon, when the lender loses the mashkon, he loses out on his right to collect payment, because the mashkon was worth a full $1,000. It cancels out the entire loan. That's the idea of balchov kona mashkon. Tosos just points out, mikal balchov shekona mashkon nira de'ein mischayv ba'onsin ela havi kmo shomer sachar. Tosos says that the example I just gave is not really true. That when I said that if I'm holding your car as a mashkon and it gets stuck in a crazy freak hailstorm that destroyed the entire car, that it's going to be my responsibility because I'm the owner, Tosfos says, no. When the Gemara says I'm the owner, that the lender is the owner, it doesn't really mean it literally. It means that I'm more of an owner than a shomer chinam would be. I bear more responsibility for a mashkon than a shomer chinam would normally bear for a mashkon, and therefore I'm going to be chayiv on gnev v'aveda. But if there's an ones, then I'm not going to be considered an owner. An ones, I'm still going to be pater from. So really, what it means is balchov kona mashkon is I'm kona the mashkon to the extent that I'm considered like a shomer sachar, but nothing more than that. So anyway, so says the Gemara. So we see that Rabbi Yitzchak's din is actually subject to machlokas tanaim. So fret the Gemara v'tizbra. Is that really so? When did Rabbi Yitzchak say his whole din that the lender is in fact kona the mashkon and does not have the status of a shomer chinam? That's only when he received the mashkon, not at the shas halva'a, not at the time of the loan. Mashkano b'shas halva'a mi amar. But did he ever say this din when he receives the mashkon at the shas halva'a, when he receives the mashkon at the time of the loan? Meaning, if you look at Rashi, emor dam Rabbi Yitzchak shmashkano shelo b'shas halva'a, so kigon al yidei beizdin to b'hachi mishta yikra. It's where beizdin goes and takes the mashkon on my behalf. That's what the pasuk was talking about. The chesiv la el minei b'chutz tamod v'ish v'gomer. Pasuk says you stand outside, and the man that owes you the money, the beizdin is going to go in and get you the mashkon. So that's where the pasuk is talking about, when the bezin goes in and gets a mashkon. But does Rabbi Yitzchak say this din that the balchov is kona mashkon based on the pasuk of Eluchati Yetzdaka, that the balchov is kona the mashkon even when I took the mashkon at the time of the loan? So rather, we're going to come up with approach number three in understanding the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. If the mashkon was shalom b'shas halvaso, everyone would agree to Rabbi Yitzchak that yes, of course, the balchov is kona mashkon. V'hacha b'mashkon b'shas halvaso. Over here, what are we talking about? Where you took the mashkon at the time of the halva'a. So Rabbi Yitzchak's din doesn't apply. So what are they actually arguing about then? If you took the din at the shas, if you took the mashkon at the shas halva'a, we know they're not arguing about Shmuel, because we're talking about, we already said, we're talking about a mashkon that's worth the same amount as the actual chov, and Shmuel's whole din was about a mashkon that's not worth that amount. They're not arguing about Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yitzchak was only talking about a mashkon that was taken shelo b'shas halva, and we're talking about a mashkon that was taken b'shas halva. So what are they arguing about? U'b'shomer aveda k'miflagi. They're arguing about a shomer aveda, the status of a shomer aveda, meaning when I find an aveda on the street and I want to do the mitzvah of a shavas aveda, in the meantime, I have to be shomer the aveda. I have to protect the aveda and make sure nothing happens to it. So I bear some responsibility as a shomer aveda. The question is, what level of responsibility do I bear? Am I a shomer chinam or am I a shomer sachar when I watch over somebody else's aveda? If I'm watching somebody's aveda and it gets lost, so am I or am I not responsible for that? If I'm a shomer chinam, I can just swear that it got lost, I'm off the hook. If I'm a shomer sachar, I bear responsibility for that aveda. So that's what they're arguing about. The itmar, because we know this is an old machlokas. Shomer aveda, Rabba Omar k'shomer chinam. Rabba says the shomer aveda is a status of a shomer chinam. Rav Yosef Omar k'shomer sachar dami. And Rav Yosef holds that a shomer aveda has a status of a shomer sachar. Now, the Gemara does not get into details over here as to why he would have the status of a shomer sachar. No one's paying me. I watched the aveda that I found on the street. No one's paying me, so why should I have the status of a shomer sachar? So if you look at Rashi, k'shomer sachar dami, schar mitzvah, umal v'alamashkon nami mitzvah avad. What's the schar I get? Because I'm getting a mitzvah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying me. So since I get the schar of the mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying me, not literally paying me, but for that reason I'm considered like a shomer sachar, and when you're malval mashkon, you're also doing a mitzvah. So that's also schar of a mitzvah. That's what Rashi sounds like saying, yeah? So good. So the question is the shomer chinam also doing a mitzvah? So when I'm watching something for somebody else, I'm doing him a favor, but is it a mitzvah in terms of taryag, in terms of one of the formal mitzvahs of Torah? It's a general mitzvah of doing something nice for somebody else, but is it a specific mitzvah in the Torah to be a shomer? No, but there is a specific mitzvah in the Torah to do Hashavas Aveda. It's an explicit pasuk in the Torah, and there is a specific mitzvah in the Torah to lend somebody money. So those are more mitzvos than a shomer chinam would be. So even though it's certainly a nice thing to be a shomer chinam, those are much greater mitzvos. So that might be the subject of this machlokas over here. Now, if you look at Tosfos on the top, Rav Yosef Amar k'shomer sachar v'im tomer damrin b'rosh hashana hamudra ana mechaveru mutul litkol otchias mitzvah v'amudra ana min hamayin mutul litpol bo tvilah shel mitzvah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that if there's an outstanding neder that I'm not allowed to get hana'a from somebody else, I'm allowed to listen to his shofar blowing. That's not called that I'm getting hana'ah from him. If I have a neder that I'm not allowed to get hana'ah from a mayan, from a spring of water, I'm allowed to go and be tovel in that mayan l'shei mitzvah, and that's not a problem of getting hana'ah from the mayan. V'amai ha'mishani l'rav Yosef t'chashav leik ha'shomer sachar frek tosos, but wait a second, if you're going to refer to doing a mitzvah as getting paid as if you're a shomer sachar, to the extent that halachically we consider you a shomer sachar, we call that you're getting paid. So when I do the mitzvah, you're not going to call that getting hana'ah. You call it getting paid. You're not going to call that getting hana. When I get the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, I get the mitzvah of toveling in the mikvah. That's, if it's enough hana to be called that I'm getting paid, it should be enough hana to be a violation of a neder hana. So don't tell me mitzvahs lavli hanus nitnu. According to Rav Yosef, I am getting paid. I am getting benefit. The Shlomar so says tells us the shiny shomer avedu mashkon the kamapam sheisasek b'lashod chalitzar chalatznia yipater militin lo avlhasim yachal lechavin letzko avlitpol b'makom shloyav shamani b'osha. So Tosa says, now we got to be careful with the words over here. When we say that you're getting paid because you're doing a mitzvah, you got to take a look at the original sugya. This is a sugya maseches bava kama daf nun vavam days. The Gemara discusses what it means that you're like a shomer sachar because you're doing a mitzvah. It's not because Hashem is giving you schar for the mitzvah. That's not what it means over here. What it means is that when you're doing a mitzvah, there's a rule called osik b'mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah. That when I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm pater from another mitzvah. So if I'm busy doing a mitzvah, and during the time that I'm doing a mitzvah, an ani comes up to me and asks me for money, I am pater from giving him any tzedakah, because I'm busy doing the mitzvah. In fact, according to the Ritva, osik mitzvah pater min ha-mitzvah, the chiddush is that it's aser for me to go do another mitzvah. When I'm osik in one mitzvah, every other mitzvah in the world becomes a dvar harashus, and I'm not allowed to go ahead and do any of those things because they become a dvar harashus, klape, the mitzvah that I'm doing right now. So according to the Ritva Shita, if I'm busy, let's say, saying Kriya Shema, and an ani comes into shul and starts going around and asking for money, it's not only that I'm pater from giving him money, it's usher for me to give him money during that time, right? It's usher for me to go do another mitzvah. So if I'm osik in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and comes along an ani and he asks for money, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda just saved me money. I don't have to go and pay him money. So why am I like a shomer sachar? Not because God is giving me schar for the mitzvah, but because God is letting me off the hook of having to give money to the poor person while I'm doing that mitzvah. So Frek Tosfos, so we're going to say that about a Shomer Aveda that you consider like a Shomer Sachar because you're not going to have to pay, you're not going to have to pay the ani that comes. What about by Tekiah Shofar? You're not going to have to pay an ani that comes and asks for food during Tekiah Shofar. You're not going to handle money, it's Rosh Hashanah. But he asks for food and you're going to save the value of that food during Tekiah Shofar. What about when you're going to be Tovel? If an ani comes while you're being Tovel and asks for money, you're not going to have to pay him that money either. So shouldn't that also be considered a hana'ah that you get from the mitzvah? So tell us this big difference. When it comes to an aveda, it's an ongoing mitzvah. You constantly have to take care of the aveda. You have to, if it's a cloth, you have to spread it out, make sure it gets aired out. You have to take care of it over and over again. And therefore, there's a much higher likelihood that during the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, an ani is actually going to come. So because of that higher likelihood, that's why you're considered like a Shomer Sachar, because there's a decent chance, there's a reasonable chance you're actually saving money. But when it comes to a mitzvah like Tekiah Shofar, being tovel in a mikvah, there's very little chance that while you're doing the mitzvah, during that exact moment, that an ani is going to come, and that it's actually really going to save you. That it's actually going to save you any money. And therefore, that you're not going to be considered that you got hana'ah from the mitzvah if because the likelihood of the ani having come during that moment is so slim anyway. Okay, so says the Gemara, Lema de Rav Yosef Tanaihi. Maybe this sheet of Rav Yosef that a Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Sachar is actually the subject of our Machlokas Tanaim. Meaning, and Rashi says, meaning that Rabba's Shita, that a Shomer Sachar, that a Shomer Aveda has the din of a Shomer Chinam, is definitely subject to Machlokas Tanaim, because Rabbi Akiva would definitely not hold of Rabba. Remember, Rabbi Akiva was the one who said that if a guy has a Mashkon and he loses the Mashkon, he could say, I lost the mashkon. Now, if you lost the mashkon, the money is lost, and you're not going to get paid back. Rabbi Akiva definitely doesn't hold Rabba, because Rabba holds that when you're being shomer a mashkon, you should have a din of a shomer aveda, which means you have a din of a shomer chinam, which means you should bear no responsibility for it. Elad Rav Yosef, mi lema tanaihi, mi matzi lukman l'Rabbi Lazar kavasei. The question is, should we say that Rav Yosef is subject to Machlokas Tanayim, that only Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Akiva doesn't? Or maybe Rabbi Yosef is not subject to Machlokas Tanayim. Maybe everyone in some way could really agree to Rabbi Yosef's Shita. So says the Gemara, Lo, B'shom Raveda Dekuli Alma Isluhud Rabbi Yosef. When it comes to Shomer Aveda, maybe everyone agrees to Rav Yosef that a Shomer Aveda has a din of a Shomer Sachar. V'hacha b'malva tzarech l'mashkon k'miflugi. Over here we're dealing with a case where the malva doesn't just take the mashkon, he actually has a use for the mashkon, he needs the mashkon to use it. And therefore, how does it work? If I take a mashkon from you and I'm going to use it, what I'm really doing is I'm renting it from you. I lent you $1,000, so you owe me $1,000. So what do? I take your car as a mashkon, and it's a rental car, I need it. I need the car to use while I'm on vacation. So I pay a rental fee, whatever it is, $50 a day, I pay you of a rental fee, and that's going to start canceling out the loan. So that's how the mashkon that we're talking about over here. Mar savar mitzvah kavid, mar savar lav mitzvah kavid. So then Rav Elazar says, since I need the mashkon, you can't say that it's a mitzvah that I'm being shomer the mashkon. What do you mean? It's for my own benefit that I'm taking the mashkon. I need the mashkon. Whereas Rabbi Kiv would say, but no, but since the amount of money that the guy owes you as a result of you taking this mashkon keeps on being poches vaholech, the numbers keep on going down because it keeps on, the rental payments keep getting deducted from the chov that he owes you. So I'm doing a great mitzvah. I'm lowering his chov. And therefore, since I'm doing a mitzvah, I would have that din of pruta de Rav Yosef that I'm pater from giving an ani any money if he comes to collect. And therefore, I would have a full status of a shomer sachar. So that's the machlokas. Now Tosos, if you look at Tosos, says, yeah, that's how Rashi explains it. B'malvot tzarech l'mashkon, Tosos says, pirush b'kuntros l'shtameish u'menaka ben achov. What does it mean, malvot tzarech l'mashkon? That he needs to use the mashkon, and he's going to deduct the rental payments from the amount of money that's owed. D'mei schirus ha'mashkon, ki hadam peraku umnin sokra de mashkon ha'shalani mipnei she'enu el k'meshav aveidu l'baylim. That it's always a good idea that if a poor person owes you money, take a mashkon from him and use it as a rental. That's gonna deduct the value of the it's gonna take away from the value of the amount of money that he owes you. That's how Rashi says. V'rach piresh tzarech l'mashkon she'en rotz l'halvos lo b'lo mashkon. Rabbi Nachman says no. Malvat tzarech l'mashkon just means that I'm only willing to lend you the money with a mashkon, and that I wouldn't otherwise be willing to lend you money. And therefore, it's not considered such a mitzvah to lend you the money because I wasn't really doing it out of the goodness of my heart. I only did it because you gave me a mashkon. That's why it's subject to machlokas, whether you have a din of a shomer sach, or whether you're really considered someone who's doing a mitzvah. The kasha tells us, but that's extremely difficult. Do you mean to tell me that if I lend somebody money and I take a collateral, I didn't do the mitzvah of lending him money? I definitely did the mitzvah of lending him money. Very difficult to understand why it should all of a sudden be a machlokas, whether I'm doing a mitzvah, if just because I insisted on taking a mashkon. So that's not what malvat tzarech l'mashkon means. Much more likely that Rashi is correct, also says. That malvat tzarech l'mashkon means I actually want to use it and use rental payments of the mashkon to deduct from the actual chov. Now Tosfos in Amud Aleph says, okay, so how do we paskin over here? Is a shomer aveda like a shomer chinam, or is a shomer aveda like a shomer sachar? Very nogei lemaisa. Anytime you do the mitzvah of a shavas aveda, if you lose it, so are you like a shomer chinam or are you like a shomer sachar? So it says Tosfos pasuk rach. We pass on like Rav Yosef that you have a din of a shomer sachar. So it says, but that doesn't seem like a really great raya, because all we're saying is that the Gemara holds that if an ani comes while you're watching an aveda, you don't have to go and give that ani any money because you're already doing a mitzvah. Rabba agrees to that. Rabba just doesn't think the likelihood of a poor person coming while you happen to be Osek in the Aveda is such a great likelihood that it's going to give you the status of a Shomer Sachar, that it's cool that you're getting paid to watch the Mashkon, because what are the chances that an Ani is going to come while you're being involved in this Aveda, while you're actually watching this Aveda? Very, very slim. So Rabba agrees to the din that if an Ani were to actually come, of course you'd be Pater, but he just doesn't agree that it gives you the status of a Shomer Sachar. All the Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim is that if an Ani comes, you're in fact Pater. Everyone agrees to that. Question is, does that give you the status of a Shomer Sachar? So that's why he doesn't think it's a raya that we necessarily pass on like Rav Yosef. That comment of Rabbah, that what are the chances that an ani is going to come during that small moment when you're actually watching the Aveda, is a major raya in the machlokas about osik mitzvah patim in a mitzvah. What do we call osik mitzvah patim in a mitzvah? Should I say that since right now I am wearing tzitzis, it's true, I'm wearing tzitzis, it even has tchelas on it and everything, that I don't have to do any mitzvahs the rest of the day? I'm osik b'mitzvah, so I shouldn't have to put on tefillin for davening, I shouldn't have to daven, I shouldn't have to give tzedakah, I shouldn't have to do anything today, because I'm osik b'mitzvah. That's the major kasha, all the Rishonim ask in Sukkot Daf Chaf Hey, when they discuss osik mitzvah pater min a mitzvah. Why am I not pater from mitzvahs all day? I'm wearing tzitzis. I have a mezuzah on my house. The mezuzah is on my house all day. It's been on my house for years. So I shouldn't have had to put on tzitzis this morning, or put on tefillin today, or do any other mitzvah for the rest of my life, because I'm busy with the mitzvah of mezuzah. So there's a major discussion, so what the answer to that question is. Two basic approaches. Approach number one is that no, the din is not that whenever I'm mekayim a mitzvah, I'm pater from other mitzvahs. It's when I'm osek b'mitzvah, when I'm actually involved in a mitzvah, that I'm pater from other mitzvahs. That any sort of involvement in a mitzvah is going to exempt me from other mitzvahs. That is the shita of the Ran. The shita of Tosfos, though, is that no, osek b'mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah only works when I can't possibly do both. If I can possibly do both mitzvahs, then we don't have that exemption of osek b'mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah. Both of those shitos use this idea of Meshav Aveda as a raya, that you can't just say that so long as I'm getting credit for a mitzvah that I'm automatically pater from other mitzvahs. Because if Rabbi wants a taina, that what are the chances an ani is going to come while I'm being Meshav Aveda? What do you mean? I could keep the Aveda in my house for months until I find the guy who owns it. There's a very high chance an ani is going to come. What kind of taina is that? What are the chances an ani is going to come? So what you see is, no, what he's saying is not, what are the chances an ani is going to come while I have it in my house in a box somewhere? What are the chances that the ani is going to come while I'm actually osik, while I'm actually doing something with the aveda that's going to stop me from giving the money to the ani? That's the geder of osik b'mitzvah. So a very important maramakom in terms of just how we define osik b'mitzvah. Just on this general topic of whether Shomer Aveda is a din of Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, very interesting Shailin Rav Zilberstein Sefer and Chashuke Chemer was asked about a Rosh Yeshiva. I think we mentioned this a while ago, but a Rosh Yeshiva was walking through the street and he was very Chashva Rav, he was very Chashva Rosh Yeshiva, and he sees a little tricycle in the middle of the street. And he says, someone lost the tricycle. So he goes and he picks up the tricycle. Now it looks a little odd for a yeshiva to be walking through the street carrying a tricycle. This is what's called a zakin v'enu l'fi kvodo. That typically when it comes to the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, if it's a person who's a zakin and it's not l'fi kvodo to actually deal with that Aveda, he's pater from the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. But he decided he's going to do the mitzvah anyway. So he went and he took the tricycle, he brought it to his apartment, he locked it up, he tied it up downstairs, went upstairs to his apartment, and next morning came down ready to do a Shavas Aveda, and it was stolen. It was gone. So the question is he chayiv to find the owner of it and reimburse the owner? Because the Shomer Aveda, according to Rav Yosef, has a din of a Shomer Sachar. So Shomer Sachar is chayiv in Gnev Aveda. So the truth is, the Sugim Babakamen and Vavan Beis, the Gemara has two explanations for Rav Yosef's Shita. One is, like we said, that you're considered a Shomer Sachar because if an ani were to come at that time, you'd be pater from paying him back money. But then the Gemara says, Ikad Mefarshi Hachi, Rav Yosef Amar Kashomer Sachar Dami, why are you like a Shomer Sachar? Kivan Derachmana Shibde Bal Korchei? Since God is making you do it, it's a mitzvah that God is making you do it, so you're considered like a Shomer Sachar. So Chassam Sofer says, what's the nafkamina between the two Lashonos? Nafkamina is a zakin sheinu l'fi kvodo. Is he doing a mitzvah to the extent that if an ani were to come, he's pater? Absolutely. He's doing a mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda. But can you say the phrase, kivan derachmana shibdei bal korchei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's forcing him to do it? Kadosh Baruch Hu is not forcing him to do it. He's pater from this mitzvah. He's a zaken v'enu l'fi kvodo. So according to the lashon that it's prutat Rav Yosef, that it's pasha that he has a din of shomer sachar because he's doing a mitzvah. According to the other lashon, he would not have a din of a shomer sachar, and therefore he'd be pater. So that's the that's l'chora what it's tali on. But he says there is machlokas Rambam the Rush. When a person does lefnim mishur sadin to be machzer aveda by zaken venel fi kvodo, what's the status? The Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch in Chasam Mishpatim Reish Samach Gimel Siv Gimel Paskin that a holich bederech hatov vayashav also lefnim mishur sadin machzer aveda bekal makom afal pishen lefi kvodo. Meaning, is it something that a zaken, a rosh yeshiva, when he sees a pair of underwear in the street or something, should he say, you know what, it's not right, I'm rosh yeshiva, I shouldn't take it? Not just that I don't have to, I shouldn't? Or is it something that he should say, you know what, I don't have to take it, but it's a nice thing if I do go and take it? So Shulchan Aruch paskins, Rambam paskins, that it is a nice thing, it's a lefnim mishur sadin, even when it's saying lefi kvodo. And therefore, when I go and I return it, I'm a kayim a mitzvah. However, the Ramah, and the Rush, and the Ramah hold that it's usur for a zaken vein lefi kvodo to go and take something. If he finds a pair of underwear in the street, he's not allowed to go pick it up. Where's the Kavanah Torah for him to walk through the street with a pair of underwear? Absolutely not. It's usur for him to go do it. So if he's meshav aveda when he's a zaken vein lefi kvodo, he's not even doing a mitzvah. So then he wouldn't have the status of a shomer sachar according to the Psak of the Ramah. So if this tricycle, in fact, is a zaken vein lefi kvodo, according to the Psak of the Ramah, he definitely did not have the status of a shomer sachar because he wasn't doing a mitzvah. He made the wrong call. So since he wasn't doing a mitzvah, he's not going to have the status of a shomer sachar according to either of the two lashonos. The only thing is, you got to see if picking up a tricycle is really a zaken vein lefi kvodo, because one could argue that if it was his own kid's tricycle, he'd pick it up and wouldn't be a pagam to his kavod. So maybe that's the gather of Einu Lefi Kvoda. Would you do it for yourself? If you do it for yourself, then you do it for somebody else. It's not called Einu Lefi Kvoda. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Lema Ketanayim. Maybe it's the subject of Machlokes Tanayim. Amal Vez Chaver Ol Mashkon. A person lends his friend money and takes a Mashkon in return. V'nichnas a Shemitah. And then Shemitah year comes. Afal Pishen Oshavel Palga. Even though it's only worth, the Mashkon is only worth half of the loan. Einu Mishamit. The Shemitah does not cancel out the loan at all. So the loan was for $1,000. The Mashkon is only worth $500, the Shemitah does not cancel any of the loan at all. Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's from Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer, Im Hayi Mashkon Keneged Chovo, Eino Meshamet. Whenever there's a Mashkon, Shemitah doesn't cancel. Right? So he says, if the Mashkon was worth the full $1,000, then you're right, Shemitah won't cancel. V'im lav meshamit, but if the Mashkon was not worth the full $1,000, Shemitah will cancel. May eino meshamit to kamar Tanakama. What does the Tanakama mean when he says eino meshamit, Shemitah won't cancel? Ilema kenegdo, if you mean to say that it's not even going to cancel the amount that the Mashkon is worth, Mechal de Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Savar kenegdo nami meshamit. That makes it sound like Rabbi Yehuda Anasi holds that it's even going to be meshamit kenegdo, the amount that the Mashkon is worth. Ela my toughest Mashkon. Well, then what's the point of having the Mashkon if Shemitah is going to cancel everything, even the value of the Mashkon itself? Elulav, it must be that the Tanakama meant Keneged Kulo. Ubit Shmuel Kamifli, the Tanakama meant, the Machlokas over here is, when I take a Mashkon that's worth $500, so does that count, and the loan was for $1,000, does that Mashkon, do we view that Mashkon as if it were worth $1,000, because I took it for a $1,000 loan? So that's exactly Shmuel's issue. Shmuel holds that yes, we view it as if it's worth $1,000, therefore if I lost the Mashkon, I've lost the entire $1,000. Do we say the same thing when it comes to laws of Shemitah? That when Shemitah comes along and I have a Mashkon worth $500, that $500 of the loan is cancelled? Or do we say that $1,000 of the loan is cancelled, that the full $1,000 of the loan is cancelled? That's the machlokas over here of the Tanaim, and they're arguing exactly about Shmuel's din. So you see that Shmuel's din is subject to machlokas Tanaim. So Gemara says, lo. No, we misunderstood. Liolam kenegdo. Really, where the machlokas was whether the amount of the mashkon, the $500, gets cancelled. Ubahaka miflugi. And this is what they're arguing about. Tanakama suffer kenegdo. Rabbi Yehuda nasi suffer kenegdo nami mishamet. Tanakama says Shemitah will not cancel the amount that the mashkon is worth. It will cancel the rest, but not the amount that the mashkon is worth. And Rabbi Yehuda says Shemitah will even cancel the amount that the Mashkon is worth. That having a Mashkon doesn't protect you from Shemitah canceling your loan. we ask, well, if having a mashkin doesn't protect you from Shemitah canceling your loan, what are you taking a mashkin for in the first place? I thought the whole purpose of the mashkin was to be able to get around Shemitah. But the might of mashkin, that which we said, well then, what's the point of taking the mashkin in the first place? L'zichron dvarim bi'alma. No, you're taking the mashkin as zichron dvarim, to remind, as a reminder that the payment is owed. But it's not actually as a way of getting around the laws of Shemitah. So Shmuel is in fact not subject to Machlokas Tanaim. Hadron Lach Shvus Adnyanin. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will start the very last parak. Not the very last parak, the second to last parak of Masech Shavuos, the seventh parak of Masech Shavuos, with this very, very long Mishnah. Okay, a guten Chodesh to everybody.